91.3 FM, WLVR, Bethlehem. You're listening to the Fritz Rock Show. My name's AJ Fritz. Thanks for joining me today. And today we've got something very special coming your way. This band is finally coming back to the United States and really a pioneering leader in the twin guitar sound and a true legend in his own right. But don't tell him that because he doesn't really care about those kind of things. But we're talking about Scott Gorham has taken the Thin Lizzy moniker and breathed new life into the band and keeps it going and continues the legacy of the great Thin Lizzy and the music of Phil. And we're so pleased that Scott Gorham from Thin Lizzy is joining us today. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Oh, thanks, AJ. How are you, bud?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
Well, actually, we're doing really well. We've just finished the British and the European leg of the tour. I think the UK was practically sold out. We've got numerous sold out shows all over Europe. So at this point, life is very good.
Yeah, you know, I was checking out some of the performances that I had seen sneaked onto YouTube last night. Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about the band, because it's really important for everyone to know how you put this band together and actually who's in the band, because you've got some monsters playing in this band. So why don't you tell everybody about how this thing came together for you again this year?
Well, you know, we had, unfortunately, we had to cancel doing the AC/DC stadium tour, the Metallica, the same thing.
Yeah, I know. I remember.
Yeah, you know, our drummer at the time was Tommy Aldridge. Yeah. He's a huge bicycle fan, and he was tearing down the hills in Santa Barbara, had an accident, cracked his collarbone.
Yeah.
And he figured he was going to be okay, but, you know, 2 weeks before showtime, and he literally couldn't lift his arm up chest height.
Yeah.
So, you know, things kind of got out of hand, and, you know, a couple of arguments out. Anyway, you know, the band ended up splitting up at that point, and I really didn't know what I wanted to do after that point, you know, with Thin Lizzy, but mm-hmm. I got a call, of all people, from Brian Downey, the original drummer.
Yeah.
And he asked me, he says, Scott, what are you going to do now with Thin Lizzy? And I said, why? Does this mean that you want to come back and play in the band? And he said, absolutely. So that gave me a huge kick. It kind of lit my fuse all over again. And, you know, now we're all off and running. A couple of days after that, I get a call from Joe Elliott from Def Leppard. He says, I hear that you and Brian are back together. Who you got to on vocals? Now, this is only after 2 days, right? I haven't had any time to think about this.
So the word and is already... Him, how did Joe find out about it? Because the word's getting out now, right?
Joe Elliott has got his ear so to the ground, it's unbelievable.
Okay.
I mean, he hears about things that before they even happen. He's
all
a real
right.
magician, though. But he says, I want to remind you of somebody. You came up to my house. He's got a recording studio in his place. He says, you came up to my house and you play guitar on this guy's solo album. And my mind just clicked. I went, oh, my God, he's right. Ricky Warwick.
Warwick,
right?
Yeah.
So I got his phone number from Joe, called up Ricky, and I think Joe had already prepped him because Ricky had said yes before I even got the question out. So now we got the singer happening, right?
Yeah.
But what am I going to do about... you know, the right-hand side of the stage here.
That's right.
And so what happens is Joe calls me again.
Uh-huh.
And said, you know, Vivian Campbell's asked me to give you a call to see if you would consider him playing guitar on the right-hand side. And I love the way he put that, considered.
Consider,
right?
Yeah. Joe, I got to think about that for a minute, right?
Yeah. Let me sleep on that.
Yeah,
all right?
I'll sleep on it. Vivian Campbell, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I said, you got to be kidding me. So I got Vivian's number, called him up, and bang, okay. Now, so I got the front line going. But, you know, I called up Marco Mendoza for, he's probably the greatest bass player in rock right now.
Yeah.
He said yes. I called up Darren Wharton, the original keyboard player. He was He was absolutely on board. So what's happened here is what I was thinking was going to take me probably months to probably get this thing back up and running. Yeah. Took me exactly 2 weeks.
That's insane.
It is. You know, I could not believe how all of this lined up and everybody just jumped on board with the total enthusiasm. So there you go. That's how we got this together.
You know, I think it's the power of the songs, the legacy of these songs that have touched so many millions of people over the years, and the music just will never die. And I think, you know, the rest of the guys saw this as a great opportunity to relive and reinvigorate this music and bring it to a whole new legion of fans.
Well, thank you very much. Especially with, you know, Ricky and Vivian being such absolute and huge fans of Thin Lizzy music.
Yeah.
You know, it's made it possible for us to not just play, you know, the Live and Dangerous set. You know, now we're able to, you know, go pretty deep into the Thin Lizzy catalog and play songs that, you know, either never got played live on stage ever, or we haven't played in absolute years. Right? In fact, the first rehearsal that we had, Vivian's going, "Hey, how about this one?" Right, and he starts playing one of the songs, a song that I had written, had completely forgot the chords on it. There, Vivian's teaching me the song that I had written. So I wasn't too embarrassed about that.
Yeah,
you know?
That's got to be a little kick in the head there, buddy, huh?
Hey, Viv, how do you do that again? All right.
Man, I'll tell you, well, I saw some of the performances on YouTube, and wow, what the states are going to see and hear when you guys get here is just going to blow their minds. And I had seen you with the band years ago in the 70s when Phil was still with us. And so I had a very, very deep impression of the band because I saw you a couple of times back in the day. And I was a huge fan back then. And then I saw you again with John Sykes at the front of the band with you. And I was blown away with that band. And then to hear about this, when the names came out, that was enough to pique anybody's excitement and really kind of tickle those ears and say, "Oh boy, we better wake these things up because they're coming with a full frontal assault of Thin Lizzy," you know. So I'm really, really stoked about this, and I'm really pleased to see that. You know, the biggest thing about this, Scott, which I've got to give you props for, is it's obvious that this music. And your dear friend who left us so many years ago now means so much to you that you're continuing, you know, this legacy to keep the music alive. And I want to personally thank you for that, man.
Oh, well, thank you, AJ. I really appreciate that. But, you know, these are songs to be played. You know, these are great, if I do say so myself, they're great guitar vehicles.
Yeah.
It's why a lot of guys want to, you know, get into this thing. So you can show your wares and they're just, you know, melodically, they're great songs to play. It's the kind of thing you just kind of don't get tired of.
Yeah. And, you know, there's always room for you to stretch and listening to you over all these years and seeing you live, you know, you tend to really kind of feel what you're doing up there on stage. And you know, there are there's always a little bit of improv. You may never hear it the same way twice coming off of your hands. And I think that's what makes you kind of special, too. You know, you can be technical when you need to be, but also there's that free spirit to the way that you play that brings that beautiful tone to what you do, you know?
Oh, well, thank you. I really appreciate that. Well, you know, I remember doing an interview at one point, and this kid was desperate to ask me a question. I finally turned around and says, "Okay, you know, so what do you want to know?" And he says, "Well, you know, these songs that you're playing, how come you don't play them note for note like you recorded them on the album?"
Right?
And I was kind of surprised with that one. And I understood it, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I had to kind of explain to him. I said, you know, some of these songs are over 25 years old. Now, if I went out every single time and just played these solos note for note every time, I think I would probably take a gun out and shoot myself, you know.
Right.
You know, just for boring myself to death. I think what we all try to do is take, you know, the obvious points of the song and do play those note for note.
Sure.
But you got to have, as you put it, you got to have room to stretch,
yeah,
you know, and have some fun out there. So I think that's, you know, that's where we treat all these songs.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the rig this year, because we've been seeing you at the Strat for years, and from what I understand, from what I saw, there's no Strat around your neck there, buddy.
No.
So we know those Les Pauls can be like, as you have said in other interviews, like hauling a bag of concrete around your neck.
My words exactly.
Exactly.
Too, yeah.
So maybe you could tell us a little bit about your rig and your acts of choice and what you're actually playing on this tour.
Well, you're absolutely right. I went over to the Stratocaster and played the Fender for, 10, 12 years, right?
Yeah, it was a good time, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and the reason for that is a lot of it was purely the weight of the guitars we were talking about. It seemed like every time you picked up a Les Paul, you know, you were throwing your back out. Now, to think about, strapping one of these songs on for 2 hours a night for, 8 weeks in a row, it was kind of a daunting prospect. But I went down to the Gibson Center here in London and saw that they've got a new guitar now. It's called the Les Paul Access,
yeah,
which actually has the Floyd Rose system on there, right?
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh my God, man, Gibson has finally done this. They've broken the taboo. They've put a little wangy bar on there, right?
Yeah.
So I picked this thing up, and I couldn't believe how light it was. Because they've taken all the suggestions on board themselves, the Gibson people, and realized that not everybody wants this, a real heavy guitar. So, I went to David Bauer, the head of Gibson, and said, David, I don't just want one of these. I need one of these.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So he put all the wheels in motion, got me one. I've got it all customized up to my, specs and all that.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely my main guitar now. I'm going to get myself another one as a backup. I mean, I just love these guitars.
Wow.
But amp-wise, I'm using the German amps called Engel.
Yes, I was going to ask you about if you were going to be using the Engels or the Marshalls.
Yeah. No, I use the Engels kind of worldwide now. I was with Marshall for probably over 30 years.
Yeah.
And it was a big step for me. I'll admit it. It was a big step to actually, go away from Marshalls and to use something different, right? But, the story with that is...
Yeah, there is a story behind the Marshalls and the Engels. So why don't you tell the listener the story? Because I read about the story. It's pretty rock and roll, that's for sure.
Well, what happened, we were playing at Wembley Arena.
Yeah.
It's a sold-out show. We're an hour away from, doors opening. And so we're doing the sound check, and all of a sudden, bang! My number one Marshall amp goes. So, geez, all right, we'll put up number two. Now, the guitar tech that I'm using, because my guy was ill, was some guy I'd never met before.
Oh.
So there's trouble for you already.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So he puts up number two. I hit a couple of chords. Bang, that one goes. Puts up three. Bang, that one goes.
Oh.
Puts up my last one, and poof. It's gone, right?
Oh, man.
And I'm looking around at this guy going, what the hell is going on here, right? So now this is the chance for the Engel rep. Now, he's been after me for 2 or 3 weeks on this tour just to try this Engel, right? And in my mind, I already know what this is going to sound like.
Yeah.
But my back's against the wall now. Now I've got 45 minutes to go. All right, throw this thing up. So he puts it up. Wangs a few dials there, looks at me, and just says, all right, let it rip. And I cranked it up, and hit the first chord, and thought, oh, man, I can't believe the sound on this thing.
Yeah.
So so much so that when they finally got my Marshalls up and running again, I said, I'm just going to go with the Engels tonight, which, if you think about it, it's pretty amazing. You're playing to a sold out audience on an amp that you've never used before. I mean, that's how much I trusted this thing.
So, wow!
And I've been using them ever since. So I've got the Les Pauls and the Engels kind of cooking away up there now.
That's a hell of an endorsement for Engel, isn't it?
Well,
Trial by fire, Scott.
It really was too. I was sweating bullets there, but
I bet, like
I say, you know, after the first, even just the first chord, I was sold. So I love them. So thanks for asking about that.
Yeah, well, I tend to do a little bit of research when I talk to people like you, I don't want the artist to think, oh, you know, who's this bozo and these questions he's asking me, like, well, what's my favorite color and what. And how much sex did I have on the road, you know, back in 74?
I don't remember,
right. So the thing is, you know, you are a guitar player, and my radio show is a guitar-driven radio show. And so I think it's kind of important sometimes to maybe ask the guitar player what he's playing and why he's playing when he's playing, because I think it's of interest. In fact, there are a few guitar shops in town that faithfully listen to this radio show while their customers are coming through the door. So,
right.
You know, I think this is cool.
This is the first radio interview I've ever done and got to talk about my gear.
How about that, man?
I love this, man. So thank you very much.
Oh, sure. My pleasure. Now,